Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Amen. I've prayed this prayer, adapted from Psalm 46, ever since I first read it in Richard Rohr's book, Everything Belongs, given to me when I was discerning my call to ministry. I say it under my breath or in my head when I'm angry or conflicted, or when the world feels as if it's in chaos and out of control, like now. Fear and terror do not win out, is what the psalmist is saying. It's a powerful text for this Reign of Christ Sunday. It's almost cognitive dissonance to focus on Christ's crucifixion in this second reading, in this season of Thanksgiving, and then soon Advent. Many of us will gather with family here or afar to give thanks for God's graciousness in our lives. Some may begin the day by serving a meal at our open table ministry. Others may be up at dawn cooking. I've certainly done both. This year, I've been preparing for my family arriving by doing a lot of cleaning, like extra deep into the oven, as if I'm about to put the house on the market, which I am not. Or like a long time ago, in the throes of maternal nesting before giving birth to each of my now grown kids. My family knows I clean as a sort of calming practice, not unlike praying Psalm 46. Years ago, when a very tall relation in my extended family lingered while I was bustling in the kitchen, I was surprised that he commented baldly, "You know, there's like an inch of grime here on top of the fridge. It kind of surprises me because you're such a clean freak." Admittedly, I was a little harried and responded something like, "Well, I can't see it, so it doesn't bother me." But it's bothered me for years. He wasn't wrong. And rest assured, I do now get up on a step stool and wipe it down. But it's a metaphor that's shaped me. It's a pretty sad state of affairs when we're so myopic that all we care about is what we can see. Do we turn off the news or scroll through it quickly because of whatever the latest awful events are don't impact us directly, here in our community, across the river, or around the world? As I prepare for and pick up my family over the next days, I pray for meaningful time together, offering gratitude with honesty. The medieval mystic Meister Eckhart said, "If the only prayer you ever pray in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough." This simple concept was radical in his time, and he was accused of heresy. So was Jesus, and he was executed for it. History seems to be repeating itself on the socio-political religious scene these days, playing out in so many homes across the country this week as families come together to share their traditions and giving thanks, even as too many have learned to brace for steeply divided political conversations, or at least hoping to agree to disagree. But it feels valuable that we try to gather and connect. Traditions are important. They join us to one another, to our past, And they help us move toward a shared future around our dinner tables and here in the sanctuary. When I lived in New York City before having kids, we had a tradition of taking paper plates piled with turkey and fixings down to our unhoused neighbors on the corner. Then we'd wander the mostly empty streets trying to walk off some of the feast, noticing how every lit window was filled with family or friends celebrating the same holiday. Everyone from every faith tradition, ethnicity, social class, political bent, everyone giving thanks together. Whatever you imagine your Thanksgiving will be like today, even as we're cooking and cleaning or traveling and table setting, today we celebrate the reign of Christ, remembering that God is God and we are not. In this liminal in-between time, we move from ordinary time on the liturgical calendar into the extraordinary, where during Advent, we await the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. Honoring Christ the King, or the reign of Christ, is a fairly recent church tradition instituted less than a century ago in the decade leading up to World War II. Pope Pius XI wanted to highlight that Jesus' kingship was an authority without violence, to remind Christians worldwide that their allegiance was to their spiritual ruler in heaven rather than to any earthly supremacy, as was being claimed by the Italian dictator Mussolini. Recently, with shouts of "No Kings" ringing in our ears from around the nation, we're also reminded of our Reformed founding father, John Calvin, and his emphasis on the sovereignty of God, not that of people, your pastors, or your presidents. Today we recognize that to deeply know the majesty of our divine sovereign, we need to look not up, but down. This reign of Christ Sunday, we celebrate that God came to us not in a golden crown or astride a war horse in a military parade, but wrapped in swaddling clothes, in a humble manger. Then through Christ's agonizing death and shocking resurrection, God ushered in an eternal reign of love and peace and joy and hope. Jesus' followers had to reorient themselves every time he instructed them that the last will be first. And the Pope, in the 1930s, was calling Christians to do the same. Before the beginning of a new church year in Advent, the season anticipating Jesus' birth, and God's surprising journey to dwell among us. From the very beginning in Eden, our omnipotent Creator seemed to look down from the heavens and want to live among us. After eons of trial and error, God tries something new, joining us embodied in human form, in Emmanuel, named Yeshua by his parents, or Jesus, in Greek, meaning the one who saves, or God saves. The Israelites living under Roman occupation shout, "Hallelujah, our king is here! The king who will ride triumphantly in and overpower the Roman armies, the king who will free the people." And yet, it turns out, this king is not a warrior, not even an adult, but an infant lying in a God-forsaken stable with a peasant father and a teenage mother. I've always wondered if Mary and Joseph looked down and recognized that this tiny infant is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But that's getting ahead of God's long love story with humanity, which we remember and retell every year, year after year, century after century. This morning, through Luke's gospel, we stand at the cross. After following Jesus' radical ministry, turning the world's expectations upside down, God, who is with us, came to serve us, to teach us, to lead us, and to die on a cross for us. That's the reign of Christ? It's shocking. 2 decades ago, Barbara Brown Taylor wrote that Jesus was not killed by atheism and anarchy. He was brought down by law and order allied with religion, which is always a deadly mix. Beware those, Taylor continues, who claim to know the mind of God and are prepared to use force, if necessary, to make others conform. Beware those who cannot tell God's will from their own. Here, Luke describes this awful scene on the cross as onlookers scoff and soldiers mock, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." And one of the criminals hanging next to him joins in the taunts. But the second one addresses Jesus without sarcastic honorifics by name. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It's a simple request to be remembered as we would all hope to be. Instead of a plea for salvation or even forgiveness, theologian Karl Barth once preached on these three crosses, boldly claiming that these three men hanging on them created the first Christian community. The reign of Christ and his kingdom is a powerful alternative to the Roman Empire and the militaristic reign of Christ. Jesus prays to God, "Forgive them." Forgiveness is at the heart of all reconciliation, all transformation. And this transformation, God's kingdom, will not arrive in some distant, ethereal future, but now, today, it's already within our reach. God is doing a new thing here and now. Brian McLaren, theologian and activist, wonders, what would it mean for us if we happen to live during the decline of the old humanity, when a new humanity is in the painful, fragile process of being born? What if the growth of the new movement, the new humanity, the new social creation or construction depends on the old one losing its power and authority? McLaren goes on to share connections with the Hebrew prophets about this new heaven and new earth that Isaiah proclaimed in the passage Shelley explored last week. Jesus followed in this long line of prophetic voices because calling out the old domination of empires and exploitation of people is the reign of Christ. As we celebrate this reign, even the language of this radical idea of God's kingdom as an alternate to the Roman Empire is giving way to something new. Maybe you've noticed in other churches recently, some Protestant churches have moved from the more imperialistic term kingdom instead to adopt kingdom, including in the Lord's Prayer, reflecting the kind of society that Jesus envisions, a shared reign among kin, all of us as one body of Christ. So today we joyfully exalt the eternal sovereignty of Christ, God incarnate, both omnipotent and omnipresent in us. Today we offer gratitude and thanks for the Spirit moving in so many ways, like packing meals this afternoon as we stand with the vulnerable and the marginalized in our community and around the world. Today we acknowledge that to be still and know the majesty of our divine sovereign, we need to look not up to the heavens, but down. What do we see? The face of a baby? Wrinkled hands clasping little dimpled ones around the table, giving thanks? When we open our hearts and squint our eyes, can we see Christ in each other? Today we remember that Jesus didn't call himself a king. We did. We humans put a crown of thorns on his head at his death on the cross. He modeled a life of service, of coming together to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. Today we celebrate the power of the resurrected Christ's Spirit to transform our lives, to break open the worldly structures that confine and divide us, safe in the deep knowledge that we are not alone, that God's kingdom, God's community is for us, in us, is us. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.